Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
If you're trying to buy a house, if you're currently in the process, stay tuned because journalist Ciara Sadlier is with me here on Lunchtime Live today. Ciara, you've been writing about lowering expectations. Tell us your story.
Hi, Andrea.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, we're in a lucky position where we finally got to buy a house.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I guess what I was writing about was that even when we managed to get through the door, it wasn't happily ever after. So, the house that we bought, we had, you know, been bidding on every single house we'd gone to see. And we lowered our expectations. We took things off the list that we had wanted to have in our home. Like, let's say, you know, some people want to be able to bring their bins out the side or that kind of thing. Mm. We let go of all those things. We ended up just getting a house that met the basic boxes. It was kind of in the right area and it was kind of big enough. So we had a lot to do then when we got in.
It's funny, I remember it's only 5 years ago now, thinking back here on this, and the first bit of advice that I was given when I started the search and the house hunting process: make a list of 10 things in three columns, the things, the non-negotiables, the things that you have to, you know, that you absolutely will not buy if it doesn't have, I don't know, whatever it is, whether it be a small bungalow or an apartment or whatever you're looking for, then the things that you would really like to have but you'll negotiate on, and then the things that you really don't care about, like maybe you want, you know, whatever, a pool or all this dream kind of stuff out the back, or a big garden, the things that you're willing to forego. But is your point that it's those initial three non-negotiables, now you have to consider them?
Yeah, so that's the location was the most important, that we could all fit into the house, that was fine. So that's what we got. But I guess when we got in, then there was things when we got into the house, we're thinking, oh, how are we going to live with the state of the kitchen or the bathroom? We didn't have money to go and get a big loan to do any other work, but over time we became blind. We became blind to things that we thought we couldn't live with, and then the other thing is that when we finally got around to doing some stuff which seemed to be a big deal, like getting an outdoor tap or fixing the kitchen hob, we were raging with ourselves that we didn't just do it earlier and just get those little, just do a few little bits at the beginning that were manageable financially. Because even at the time when we got in, it just felt like everything was going to, if we replaced the kitchen hob, that somebody was going to come and say, oh no, you need to rip out the whole kitchen. Or if we did it something outside, it was going to cost thousands. But actually, so that's what I would say to people, that if they just focus on, if there's a few small things that are annoying them, but they can't go and get a massive loan or they don't have the money to do
money,
a huge job, just making a few little small adjustments can make life easier.
So making a list then, is it, of all of the things that you'd like to do? Is that the key? Is that the starting point at the very beginning of all of this?
Make the list and then throw it out the window. And because you would get so disheartened when you're going around and waiting in queues and then getting outbid and outbid and outbid. So you get worn down. For us, we just accepted what we took what we could get, basically.
So bid on everything, but probably recognise you might still be disappointed at the end of all of this.
Yeah, it took a long time for me personally to feel like this house was our home. We rented in a lot of different places and had to move again and again because the landlord was selling or moving back or whatever. And ironically, this was the house where I felt least at home. And I didn't feel that relief that I thought I would after being a renter for so long. I was over 40 when we got to buy it, and it took a long time for me to settle in.
I can totally resonate with that. actually feeling that the whole process was such a letdown, but nearly feeling embarrassed to say that because I recognised that I was fortunate enough to have crossed the line, but I nearly felt I couldn't say that. You know, you couldn't actually complain about it to other friends.
You know,
but at the same time, realising that this isn't where maybe you thought you'd be or what you thought you were going to end up in. And yet it was in my instance, was all I could manage to get, having been out in about five or six other places. So you felt you had to nearly shut up then, you couldn't talk about it.
And there's a lot of work to do, and I guess if you're just doing it bit by bit, you know, it's difficult when you go to other people's houses and their house seems to be fully done and there doesn't seem to be a thing to do, and then you're embarrassed even to let somebody into your bathroom. But you just do it bit by bit, basically. Eventually, you'll get there.
Listeners got in touch, Kira, listening to Kira today. I reckon about 60 grand at least. That's what you need after you buy the house. That's likely what will have to be spent on a doer upper. God, I would think 60 grand is nearly a conservative amount, isn't it?
I would have thought hundreds of thousands. If you wanted to do everything, like I said, like we were afraid to touch anything because we thought that somebody was going to say, oh no, you need to rewire this. I think even to get rewired would be, you know, 40,000-50,000. So that makes us afraid to even try to do small stuff in case they say we need to do something massive.
Listener says, my main tip looking back now in the house buying experience, the first thing I'd say to people, change the locks. Well, yeah, absolutely. Another listener says, with the amount of money people are paying for homes now, the fact that you have to accept the bare minimum is just totally wrong. This listener says, the best advice is for people to live in the house before people go in and do any kind of work in it. There's a sense that everything needs to be done immediately, but you're actually often better off to just change one or two things after about 3 months rather than waiting and doing it all up at the beginning. Would you agree
that
with
might
that?
Be right, because you might think something is absolutely appalling when you go in and that it's horrendous, but actually it becomes not a huge issue, and you get different priorities then as time goes on.
You also see things differently. You know, you might go in and you think, oh, I put the couch there, or I do this or I do that, and after a couple of months you maybe realise that your initial idea wouldn't have worked at all.
Yeah, exactly. And I do take advice from other people. Sometimes, obviously, other people can be really annoying. But like I work in my bedroom, and somebody came over and I was saying, I'd love to work like looking out the window, but I can't get my desk there. And she was going, well, just move this here and move that there. And I had just never thought to put the house the way she had recommended. And it made a huge difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit Walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
Good. Listeners, as we lived in our house for about 5 years before we bought anything new at all, you can get lots of things for free on Done Deal from family and friends if you aren't that fussy. I have a friend who gets loads of stuff on Done Deal and adverts. Like, they're absolutely brilliant for scrolling through the web pages and finding stuff that's often for free.
Yeah, pull stuff out of skips. Yeah. That kind of thing. I don't think we bought anything new at all. I definitely got stuff off family and friends.
1800 453 106 is the number. We're looking for your tips, the things that you wish you knew then when you were house hunting. Matthew McNabb is with me on the line because, Matthew, yourself and your partner, Laura, you've been looking for a house. So, I mean, you know how hard all of this is, trying to find a home.
Yes, yes. It's been quite the journey, I would say. We've been looking for probably a year, I suppose. And we eventually went sealed agreed, which is actually pretty quick, I suppose, in the general consensus. But I think we did have to compromise quite a lot. And, you know, that's something we found along the way. At the start, we were looking at, like, sites and stuff. And then we came across this thing called local needs, which kind of put a damper on that. And then we went across different houses. And there's one that, when we went into it, it was 100 grand above the asking price already. And it was a bit crazy. So it's been a journey, but we eventually have got to the place.
Well, that's
but
great. As I say, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And that initial list, Matthew, of things that you probably sat down and thought, well, we want this, or location, or number of rooms, or space, or whatever it is, a garden or no garden, or a terrace or whatever. Like, were those things you felt in the end you had to negotiate on, or you had to sort of scrap in order to just get keys to somewhere?
Yeah, I suppose we didn't really go into it with that because we did know it was a market that was a bit crazy. And so we just kind of went in and said, like, for instance, a load of real estate agents were like, what do you actually want? And we're like, we don't actually know because we're open to a lot of different things. And I think that's the way you have to be because ultimately it's just so competitive. There's very few houses out there and the cost for value is very low. So are very high, sorry. So it's basically one of those things where you just have to compromise. And overall, I think we did achieve like a really good deal. But at the end of the day, it's still a lot we had to compromise on in the sense of the final thing. Like we still needed to put money into it. We still need to renovate it. I think the best thing for us is to work in like phases to get bits done here and then save up a bit more bits done here and then kind of work like that, you know.
It's nearly the only way, isn't it? I mean, it's so hard now considering that you nearly have to have that extra pot of money to try and even actually get the keys to the house in the first place because of that bidding process that you've talked about. I mean, like, most houses now nearly seem to go between 60 to 100,000 over the initial asking price.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, actually. There was that one I referenced that was like 100 grand above the asking price before we even went in, and it was only up for like 2 weeks. And we actually looked on the portal and it went, one bid was 60 grand of a jump, like, which is crazy. It's mental. But I think I saw the median for a house sale around Dublin was like 500k. And that's just crazy, like, in general, really. Like, it's normally back when I was growing up, it was like 500,000 to get you a really nice house. Like,
yeah.
But
yeah.
No, it, like, gets you a little tin box, like, so it's crazy.
Imagine, you know, Kira, somebody coming in the bidding, in the middle of the bidding war and putting 60,000 down. I mean, talk about blowing everybody else out of the water.
Yeah, the same thing happened to me all the time. Even by the time you get to the door to see the house for the first time, the estate agent will say, by the way, it's up by 50 grand. So people aren't going up by 500 or 1,000 at the beginning. They're putting all their cards on the table. Oddly, our house, nobody else had bid on it at all. And I think people got the same feeling that I got when I came, which was that there was something a bit off about this house. So it took a lot of work for us to make it ours.
Yeah, but you're in it now and happy?
Yes, happy now.
Good.
Happy.
Yeah,
still
good.
A lot of work to do, but happy. Yeah.
And what about you, Matthew? When do you hope to get the keys or get into the place?
Yeah, hopefully in the next month or so. I'm not really that experienced in this sort of closing period, but I think it'll be another month. And but as I say, we have to put work into it, so maybe another month or 2 months before we actually move properly into it and stuff. But you know what? It's fun for us. It's a good project, and we're excited for that. But I do totally understand if you have kids and you've got all the stress of different lifestyles and stuff, like, it'd be way harder than we've had it because obviously we don't have kids or anything yet. So it's worked out quite well in that sense. But so exciting for that, but yeah, in general, it's a tough process.
We'll chat to you. We'll chat to you in about 3 years' time and see if you still think it's such a fun project and process. When you're like me, I know when I eventually got in, was right in the middle of COVID, and sure everything was shut. And I remember the only furniture I could get was whatever you could buy online in the hardware shops that were open, the likes of Woody's or B&Q. And when you're sitting on the outdoor seat and table and chairs for over a year, I can tell you the whole crack and fun goes out of it pretty quickly, actually. Listeners got in touch to say, I hate where I live and paying a huge mortgage, poor quality. There's a lot of problems. Never, ever again would I do it. Another texter makes the point, cash is king when looking for tradesmen to do jobs and supply the materials yourself. Get an ex-display kitchen or a second-hand kitchen and get them wrapped and resprayed. I mean, would you consider doing something like that, Matthew?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I was watching Dragon's Den the other day, and somebody had a business which actually they're selling. It was like a website. They're selling secondhand kitchens. It got me thinking. I was like, geez, that's a good idea. So I went on the Facebook Marketplace and looked, and there's actually a few ones that are nice now. So, like, I think there's definitely options. Like, we lived in LA there a couple of years ago, and we furnished our entire apartment just through Facebook Marketplace brilliantly. And you get things that are really nice for like really cheap price. So I think I'll probably do that the same.
And you know? I know often people are doing that because they're trying to clear a place out if they're moving or selling, you know, or moving back home. As often there's typically nothing wrong with the stuff. It's just sometimes they need to get rid of it and get rid of it quite quickly.
Exactly. It's good for the environment too. So that's the main thing, you know.
Well, listen, congratulations. Delighted to hear that that you've yourself and Laura have got somewhere. Matthew McNabb there on the house hunting process for quite a while, and journalist as well, Ciara Sadlier, thanks so much for joining us on the programme. The email, as always, if you want to get in touch with us, that's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.